Okay, now this evening, Isaiah 43, and we could well entitle this message, Fear Not. Fear not, he says that in verse 1. Fear not, because I have redeemed thee. Fear not, because I have redeemed thee. And then look at verse 5, Isaiah 43, verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. So we could call this message, O Israel, people of God, fear not. Fear not. But the title I'm going to use this evening is The Precious Promises of God that are given to us here. Five or six different promises He gives us here. I have redeemed thee. I've called thee. You're mine. I'll be with you. I'm your Savior. You're precious in my sight. I've loved thee. All those blessings we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of Peter in 2 Peter 1? He said, of these promises we read in the gospel, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature. Exceeding great and precious promises God has given unto us. Now, you remember as Paul writes about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, he said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that all that God had promised, He is able to do. He's able to perform. Now, who are these promises for? Look at verse 1 again, Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, that made thee, and formed thee, O Jacob, O Israel, fear not. Now, often when we read of Jacob and Israel in Scripture, we have a tendency to think of that national people. Now, these promises here in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel of Isaiah, when he talks about Jacob and Israel, he's talking about God's elect, God's chosen. Who are these precious promises of the gospel given unto? Not to all men without exception, but unto God's chosen people who are blessed of God. He says this in this chapter several times. I have chosen you. Look over here at Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. God's chosen people. He's talking here about the Israel of God, the elect of God. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, which is another name for Israel, for I have chosen thee. You remember our Lord said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you unto salvation. Now, Jacob and Israel here, these promises are given to God's spiritual people, given exclusively to the Lord's covenant people. Not talking about the natural descendants of Abraham or the natural descendants of Jacob, because if that be so, that would exclude us, wouldn't it? But rather, the true spiritual sons of Abraham and the true spiritual sons of Jacob. Remember from our Bible study in the book of Galatians, where we studied and read this verse, Galatians 3:7. Know ye not? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And then in Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He's made us heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers of the gospel of Christ, like Jacob, are sovereignly loved of the Lord. You remember the scripture from Isaiah? Not only in Isaiah, but also in the book of Romans, where it said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. God's chosen people in Christ, and He chose a people from all eternity and made them new creatures in Christ. He has changed our name from Jacob to Israel. Remember when Jacob of old met the Lord, and he said unto Jacob, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, which means cheat, supplanter, sinner, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So God changed his name from cheat, supplanter, to a prince of God. God changed Jacob's name and chose him and made him a new creature in Christ. Loved him from all eternity. Now notice carefully that these covenant people are the Lord's creation. He says that in verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. Again he says that in verse 7. For everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him, and he did it for his glory. His glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Remember the Apostle Paul writes, if any man be in Christ, we are a new creation. A new creation. We can say with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? Everything we have it by his grace. Ephesians 2, right down below where we were reading earlier, says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Created in him. He has made us his people by his sovereign love, by his sovereign choice alone. He has loved us and called us. Thinking of this psalm, don't turn, let me just read it to you. This is Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye not, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We didn't make ourselves. We are no self-made man. He made us new creatures in Christ. He chose us unto salvation. Every believer is a formation and creation of Almighty God and his sovereign grace that he may be glorified. That's the bottom line, is it not? You remember, look at verse 21 in this chapter. God said, this people have I formed for myself. I chose them, I formed them, I made them. They shall show forth my praise, or they shall show forth my glory. We studied in Galatians chapter 6. Remember Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the grand design of all that God does? Is for his glory, isn't it? For his glory. The Lord, knowing the frailties and weakness of our flesh, he tells us here as his people, he tells us here not to fear. Fear not. Fear not. Look back to Isaiah 41 verse 10. This is one of my favorite verses in the gospel according to Isaiah. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Boy, what an encouragement. Again in this same chapter, Isaiah 41, look at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. Fear not. I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Who says so? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. The believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ has no need to fear our sin. Our sins are many and against God, but the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to put away our sin. The believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ had no need to fear death. I don't fear death. God changed the character of death, the believer. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live also. The believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ has no need to fear sin, death, hell, or judgment. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Satan, called a roaring lion, going about seeking who he may devour, the Lord has defeated him and conquered him. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, several reasons why he says here, do not fear. O Israel, O Jacob, you're mine, I've created you, I've formed you. Fear not, he said, I've redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. We have a Redeemer that cannot fail. We are redeemed with what? His precious blood. This word redeemed here has the meaning and sense of being delivered. He is our deliverer. He's delivered us from our sin by His own blood. I have redeemed thee. In this same chapter, look at verse 25, Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sin. He is our Redeemer. I love this verse in Isaiah 44. Look over there, Isaiah 44, verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sin. Now return unto me. I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. You remember Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 1, talking about the blessings we have in the gospel, in whom, that is in Christ, we're accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, for I have redeemed thee. Read on Isaiah 44, verse 23. Saying, O heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Now, who redeemed who? We didn't deliver ourselves. We didn't redeem ourselves. For the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forth, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, His elect, His chosen, and glorified Himself in doing so. All the honor and glory for our redemption belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what Peter writes when he writes about being redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Not with silver and gold, not with vain works and traditions of men, but we are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He obtained for us with His own blood eternal redemption. It is a particular redemption. He says, O Jacob and O Israel, God says, I lay down my life for the sheep. It is a costly redemption, His blood. God bought the church with His own blood. It is a complete redemption. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. God said, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. It's an effectual redemption. We are redeemed with His blood. He bought us. God's going to have everyone He bought. Going to take Him home to glory and enjoy Him forever. It's satisfying. Certainly satisfying to me, but what's more important is satisfying to God. He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. And He obtained for us not temporary amnesty. He obtained for us eternal salvation. He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. We have a Redeemer. We have a redemption through His blood. And notice who did this. For I have redeemed thee. It's all His work. He has done it. He purposed it, and He accomplished salvation for us. Therefore, fear not. You see what He's saying? Fear not. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Savior. He said, I'm God. Beside me there is no other. Fear not. And then He says, secondly, fear not, for I have called thee. I've called thee by thy name. God knows His sheep by name. You remember John chapter 10? He says, I know my sheep by name and lead them out. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. How long has God known His people? I have known thee by name. Remember what it said of Jeremiah? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And I called thee, and I redeemed thee, And I've made thee a prophet unto my people. I've called thee by thy name. How does God call out his people? He calls out his people with his word. He calls out his people with the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to call out his people and to save them by his grace. He does it with the word of truth. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Now this is not a general call of the gospel. This is that effectual, irresistible call of God the Holy Spirit that will conquer with invincible power. When God calls a sinner, that sinner will answer, I have called thee by thy name. And then he said, you're mine. You're mine. I am my Lord's. You remember that study from the Song of Solomon? I am my Lord's and he is mine. He is mine. Now this call of God is not the call of the preacher, not the call of the church. This is the call of God with the word of truth and the power of God the Holy Spirit to the heart of the sinner. It's an invincible, conquering call of God. It's a personal call. He said, Matthew, follow me. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. You see, it's a personal call. It's a powerful call too, isn't it? Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. It's a penetrating, piercing call to the heart. To the heart. With the heart man believeth unto salvation. Salvation is a heart work. It's God working in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. And it's a producing call. It gets results. It gets the job done. Paul reminds, as he writes to young Timothy from a Roman prison cell, he said, it's God who saved us and called us. Notice he saved us and then he called us with a holy calling. Not according to our work, but according to God's own purpose and grace. So, fear not, I've redeemed thee. Fear not, I have called thee by thy name. Personally, powerfully, eternally. He says, in the last part of verse 1, he said, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Our Lord said this in John 6, all that the Father giveth to me, they shall come to me. And those that come to me, I'll never cast them out. The reason he redeemed us with his own blood and called us by his fetching, saving grace is because we belong to him. Remember our Lord prayed in John 17, the Father had given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to me. He redeemed us. He called us. He said, I know you by name. He said, you're my property. You're mine. He bought us. He said, you know more you own. You're bought with a price. And that price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How long have we belonged to him? Well, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Fear not. I have chosen thee. And then the fourth reason we see is this. Fear not. He said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Look at verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When Israel came to the Red Sea, and they couldn't get through that Red Sea or around it or over it. God parted the sea. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When Israel went across Jordan, again the waters parted because the Lord was with them. When thou pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walkest through the fire, thou shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? I will be with thee. Look at verse 5. Fear not. Isaiah 43 verse 5. Fear not, for I'm with thee. I'm with thee. Now, I can believe his promise, can't you? I'm with thee. I'm with thee. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The Lord will not forsake his people in a time of trial. And that's what that means here. When you go through the waters, through the river, through the fire. Talking about trials that come our way. trials that come our way. The Lord will not forsake His people in the time of trial, but rather He has promised us to be with us. To be with us. When the Lord ascended back to glory, He had His apostles around Him, and He said to them, go and preach the gospel in all the world. And then He said this, remember, I have all power in heaven and earth. And He said, I am with you always. The Lord's with His people. Always. Hebrews 13 said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. The Lord promised to us is not that we won't have trials. That's not His promise to us. You remember in John chapter 16, He said, these words have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. But then He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I've overcome. The Lord's promise unto us is not that we won't have trial, but rather that His grace is sufficient in the time of trials. That's what Rapon wrote in that psalm. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Now, here's the fifth thing I want us to look at. Fear not. Fear not. I'm with thee. I've called thee. I've redeemed thee. I know you by name. You're mine. And then He says in verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. He said, I'm your Savior. I'm your Redeemer. And I'm your Savior. I am your Savior. Alone beside me there is no other Savior. Look right across the page, Isaiah 43, verse 11. For I, even I, am the Lord. Beside me there is no other Savior. Turn to Isaiah 45. Remember this promise here. Isaiah 45. Look at verse 20. Assemble yourselves. Isaiah 45, verse 20. Assemble yourselves. Come, draw near together. Ye that are escaped from the nation. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image. And pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Now look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is no other Savior. Remember when Peter and John went to the temple after the day of Pentecost, and that blind beggar was asking for alms, or that crippled beggar was asking for alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he went leaping and praising our God. Well, Peter and John got in trouble over that. The Pharisees got all upset over it and called them before their council and said, in whose name have you done this? And he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the one that you crucified. And then they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God will spare no expense. Look at verse 3 again. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, a just God and a Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God will spare no expense to save his people. You remember Romans 8:32? God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God spared not his son. God will give nations and people for his people. And he gave his own son to die in our room, in our stead. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior sent of God. The certified Savior. The guaranteed Savior. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Notice carefully the words in verse 4. Isaiah 43:4. Since thou wast precious in my sight. Precious in the sight of God. Remember our Lord said of those his people who have died, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Lord's people are precious unto him. The sheep have no value in themselves. We are but hell deserving, guilty, ungodly sinners. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We don't even consider ourselves to be precious or valuable. But he does. He does. The Lord considers us his elect, his bride, his church, precious in his sight. He calls us his jewels, his sheep, so much so, so valuable in his sight that he redeemed us with his own blood. He gave us precious faith to lay hold upon the promise of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is that so, verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, don't fear, fear not, you're precious in my sight. Not only that, he says, thou hast been honorable, honorable. He said, I've loved thee, I've loved thee. He also says, thy people are honorable and loved of God. Precious, honorable, and loved. You see, he bought us. He redeemed us. He loved us. How are we honorable in his sight? We're not so by nature. But this is what the Lord has made us by his grace. We are accepted in the beloved. It's not people all the time going around saying, well, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. That's not written in the Word of God. We are accepted in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. He washed us from our sin in his own blood. We're precious in his sight. We're honorable in his sight because God sees us in Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he's pleased with all those in his Son. I have loved thee. And he's loved his people. You remember Jeremiah 31, he said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee to myself. Therefore, will I give whatever it takes. I'll give men for thee and people for thy life. What do we know about this love of God? This love of God is sovereign. This love of God is unchangeable. It's electing love and it's sacrificial love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and that he gave his son for us. One more thing here, I'll let you go. Verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. Fear not, fear not. For I am with thee. Notice this. He said, I will bring thy seed. They may live in the east. They may live in the west. They may live in the north, or they may live in the south. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Now this word here I want us to think on for just a moment. I will bring thy seed. I will. I will, God said, and they shall. I will, and they shall. The very glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is wrapped up in the salvation of his people. He must save, must justify, must redeem, must call out, and bring them all home safely. His glory is at stake. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, Christ also once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to glory. That's the only way we're going to be brought, by Christ's sacrifice for us. He's called the captain of our salvation, who's bringing many sons unto glory. Now, I'm going to close with this. You can turn with me, if you want to, John chapter 6. If not, I'll just read it to you. I will bring that seed, God chosen, his elect, all the way home to glory. Who says so? God says so. John chapter 6, look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose, well, some of them, maybe a few. I'll lose nothing. You see, we're precious in his sight, honorable and loved, redeemed and called. He said, I'm with you, you're mine. I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Is there any of God's elect, the sheep of Christ, for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died, is he going to lose any of his sheep, any of his elect? Oh no, his glory is at stake in this matter. I will be their God, and they shall be my people, saith the Lord. Fear not.